Welcome to episode 6 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 17th and the 21st of September 2012. So let's get started with Street Talk.
So there's been four main storylines going on this week. Tina, Tommy and the Surrogacy is still going on. We're starting off at the beginning of the week with them seemingly split up, but by the end of the week they'd agreed, they'd been to the clinic, they got their money. There's been a new romance in the street between Beth and Kirk, unlikely partners
unlikely
there
couple, maybe.
Lloyd has been back in the spotlight again. It's been great to see him in the show as a main character because he's been on the sidelines for too long, and he's there's been a secret revelation about his past. And then finally, over in the Rovers' Return, Gloria is gunning for the Pub of the Year award.
She's meddling.
She's doing a bit of, yeah, being a bit
doing
meddlesome.
A bit of
meddlesome
okay.
Mum.
So we'll start off with the surrogacy storyline, which is involving Tina, Tommy, Izzy, Gary, Owen. So at the beginning of the week, it stood that Tina had told Tommy that she was going to be a surrogate, and Tommy wasn't happy.
No, he said he was going to leave her if she went through with it.
He goes off and moans at Owen about him offering the money, and sees Izzy and Gary and tells them that he split up with Tina over the whole thing.
Yeah, I felt sorry for Izzy because she doesn't want to force anyone into this. I think it really is Gary pushing it forward.
Yeah.
He's just desperate to have this baby.
Yeah,
and she wants a baby, but
not at the cost of other people's happiness.
No, exactly.
So Tommy's being a bit of a caveman about it and comes out with some very arcane kind of ideas about, I can't stand the idea of you growing another man's baby in your stomach.
Right, this isn't going to turn out an argument between me and you again.
No, he just makes it sound like she's going to have an affair with Gary, which is obviously not what's going to happen.
No, but I can still see his point. I can totally understand if he wouldn't want to have that. I mean, I just think that Tina has totally forced it, and she's said, well, I'm going to go through with this with
Emma. Tina's only forcing the issue because her father basically gave his life to try to settle some debts, and she doesn't want the same thing to happen to Tommy. So anyway, she goes to see Rita and asks if she can move in with Rita, but Rita wants her to go and fight for her relationship, so she goes off to see Tommy.
Yeah, and that's when Tommy reveals exactly why they'd fallen out. A bit of a shock for Rita.
She kind of cries, basically. She doesn't like the idea at all.
Yeah, she goes around and sees Tina and has a really good old cry back in the pub, doesn't she? Offers to give her the money.
Yeah, she seems very upset. I was quite disappointed in her, to be honest.
Hey, Rita?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think that everyone's concentrating purely for the drama, purely to make the viewer feel there's a bit of conflict going on, but they all seem to be thinking of this as a very negative thing that Tina's... Nobody's concentrating on the positive aspects of what this is about.
No, I guess not.
It would be just as easy for them to make a storyline about surrogacy where everyone thinks it's a brilliant idea, but they just want the drama. So Rita's crying, goes to write her a cheque.
I wish I knew someone like Rita.
Yeah, she can't write a cheque for £15,000.
No.
And she also takes the opportunity to patronise Tina by asking her if she knew what altruistic means. If you know what altruistic means, you're one step ahead of Coronation Street. So she also lectures her and says that a baby should come from a loving couple, and also warns her that she could get into trouble with the law for accepting the money. Gets disappointed in her, really, and then goes off and has a go at Izzy and Gary, basically.
Mm.
Goes off and sees Tommy, and they have a little cry together. And Tommy packs to leave,
yeah,
and Rita calls him a coward.
And then doesn't Owen catch Tommy at the bus stop on his way to leave with his, and then he ends up sending him back with his tail between his legs.
He talks sense into him, basically.
Yeah, well, because Owen wants his daughter to have this baby.
Yeah.
So he kind of persuades him and cajoles him into going back.
Well, he can see the positive side for Tina as well.
Yeah, and for the whole of the rest of the week, you can see that Tommy's still not really 100% before it, but he's doing it for Tina now. He wants to support her, and to be honest, he does know that they're not going to get the money anywhere else. I think he's realising that even if he's not totally happy with it, it's going to solve a lot of their
problems
if they go through with it.
So Tina's trying to put a brave face on it and is trying to make Izzy and Gary believe that she's on their side and says, I won't let you down, because Tommy's come back to her and so everything's on again.
Yeah.
They go to give Tyrone and Kirsty some of the money that they owe them, but they're £20 down. And Tommy also comes to the shocking realisation that in order to rent a flat, they're going to need at least £500 a month.
Yeah.
Which sounds quite a lot of money, actually. For. Yeah.
But luckily, there's a flat free. What a surprise. And it's nearby, so.
It's on the street.
Yeah, who'd have thought? So, yeah, they get to move into Owen's flat because Anna has invited him to move in with her. So their relationship is going to the next stage there.
Yep. And so the next step forward for the surrogacy storyline is a cancellation appointment at the clinic.
Yeah, no, we've said a bit about on this show before about trial periods being an oft mentioned way of hurrying up the storylines. Well, cancellations
usually work in the case of weddings, but in this...
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a wedding where they haven't had a cancellation to get it in early, because from experience, it takes quite a while to prepare a wedding.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Coronation Street, it's different.
They just get a cancellation. On.
So if you haven't noticed it, look out for it. It'll happen again. There'll be a cancellation for something. Yeah. So they went to the clinic.
They asked some probing questions.
Yeah, the lady at the clinic was being a bit of a devil's advocate, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Saying to Tina, saying, oh, how would you feel about giving it over? The same kind of things that they were asking Katie.
It's kind of difficult to know how you should answer those questions, really, because on the one hand, you want to acknowledge that you realise that this is an important issue that they're bringing up, but on the other hand, you don't want to agree with them that you're going to go psycho and want your baby back.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really awkward.
But the way Tina was acting, she doesn't seem to have thought about it. She was saying, oh, no. Yeah, it'll be fine. Oh, I'll hand it over. I know it's their baby. It's not mine. But the more she was being probed, that I think the cog started ticking in her head to think, maybe it's not going to be as easy as I've said. It's not just going to be, they give me the
I
money.
I really do not know how you can tell what you're going to be like before you
can't.
You, had a baby.
You can't, obviously.
Because I've never had a baby before.
No.
No, I haven't. So, I've got no idea whether... How you? I can only imagine. As soon as you give birth, you instantly are bonded with the child. But how would that be different if you knew all along it wasn't your baby?
Who knows? I'm sure.
I don't know where they're going
to
go.
I'm sure that that'll be one of the many conflicts to come on this. Tina is then given some of the money from Owen after she gives him a bit of a sob story about what happened to Joe and how much debt he got himself into, and that's what led to him his unfortunate accident in the Lake District.
She didn't really elaborate, and Owen didn't ask her any questions, but no. I would have been like, what?
Yeah, I think
his scheme ended up with him at the bottom of Lake Windermere. What scheme was this?
I think if you live on Coronation Street, like, that's kind of par for the course. That happens every day. Anyway, they've got the
it's
money.
It's quite funny how little they gossip about things that used to happen.
Yeah, they don't talk about that. Really. They're too busy caught in the moment.
Yeah.
They got the money, give it to Kirsty. I like the look on Kirsty's face when they handed
Kirsty
it over.
Kirsty didn't
them.
Really want it,
she didn't want it. She doesn't like that she hasn't got control over them anymore. So,
I also like the way that Tina brought it out of various pockets. She kept bringing it out of pockets, like she's doing a magic trick with some handkerchief or something. And here's another £1,000. Here you go, some more. Here's a bundle of 50s.
I wish I could do a magic trick where I pulled a bundle of 50s.
Yeah. So the question now is, where's this going to go now? I wonder whether, because Kirsty made a few little snidey comments, like, oh, is this dodgy? Where'd you get this from? Is she going to start investigating where Tina's been given this money from?
Yeah.
She did make a comment along the lines of, when you have a baby, you'll realise what's really important.
Yeah, and as an ex-copper, she's going to know the legal side of things.
Well, even if she doesn't, she's going to have an interest in discovering.
Yeah, so she's maybe going to try and get Tina into trouble and that, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know whether that Tina might end up getting pregnant just from Tommy.
Oh my God, that would be Tommy's perfect trick.
Yeah, and so that
he hasn't thought of that, has he?
The baby will come out and it'll be Tommy's.
Tommy, I don't, to be honest, bless his heart, I don't think he'll ever think of that.
Anyway, let's move on to another storyline. Okay, what else has been going on? Let's talk about Lloyd. Brilliant. Lloyd's got a storyline at last.
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't had a proper storyline
since
he came back in the summer, so it's great to have him. And it's really interesting as well. I thought Mandy was a really lovely character. She seems...
She seemed quite shouty to me.
Well, no, hang on a minute. The first time she was in it, they were getting on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be nice little family for Lloyd. And then, yeah, as soon as he started stalking her, as the week went on, she got shoutier and shoutier. Lloyd obviously got suspicious.
Well, he's thinking about her. He doesn't know why she warned him off.
No.
Fizz finds her bracelet in the cab, so Lloyd goes to give it to her and puts his mouthwash in before he pops in. And she's very dodgy and kind of wants to get him to leave and fidgeting and tell him to go away. And Lloyd's starting to suspect something. So he goes back another day to see her and opens the door to find a beautiful 28-year-old woman. Yeah. Who looks suspiciously like him, but not at all, doesn't look anything like him.
No. Called Jenna.
Jenna, yeah. So he goes away and basically starts to say to Eileen, do you know what? I think there's this...
Something happened between me and Mandy and a squirrel 28 years ago.
Yeah.
Going in my grandma's back door.
Apparently the squirrel story was the most hilarious thing that's ever happened to that family. Because
yeah,
Jenna
passed
still...
down generations in the Mullaney family, I think.
So he kind of...
as you would, come to the conclusion that maybe Jenna's my daughter. We had a fling then. It goes round there, chatting away to Jenna. She's, again, seemed very, very lovely, like, getting on with Lloyd. Lovely, lovely chatty.
She's friendly to the point of being incredibly naive and gullible to let a strange man, who looked quite nervous, into her house for a cup of tea.
Yeah, she's very trusting.
Yeah, well... okay.
Yeah, and then he was asking all about when she was
born.
Just out of interest.
Just out of interest. Just think how easily she would be defrauded.
Yeah. It took her a little while for the penny to drop, didn't it?
Well,
she was saying, did you and Lloyd have a fling? Oh, you did, didn't you? Was it when you and Dad together? Oh, that's shocking, that's terrible. And then finally the penny dropped. Hang on a minute. Is Lloyd my dad?
Basically. And it's a total shock to her because her whole life up until that point has been a lie, basically.
Mm.
And she's saying, oh, but everyone used to say I look like my dad. You know, how would you feel if suddenly your father...
That's another thing. You'd never know how that felt until that happened.
No, you would never... No one ever suspects, really, do they?
No, that their dad's not their dad.
No.
No. I thought that... She had a lot to say. She was quite verbose about it. As soon as she found out, and she was saying, oh, it's my whole life that I thought that I've experienced it. Does it mean nothing? And there wasn't as like a shocked, stunned silence or anything. She was just suddenly ranted on.
She sort of overthought.
As if it was a script that she was reading.
That's strange.
Overacting a little bit.
Well, I just thought that they gave her too much to say about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the whole of the rest of that storyline for the rest of Friday's episode was them shouting at each other, basically.
But then again, I suppose in soaps, if the characters went, before I react, I need some time to absorb this information so that I don't say something I will later regret.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mandy's really mad that Lloyd sort of lets the cat out of the bag. And
Lloyd has a good old shout at Mandy.
Well, she tells Lloyd that Johnny did know that Jenna wasn't his child. And then Jenna overhears that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another bombshell has dropped on her head.
Yeah.
Lloyd goes off and tells Eileen that he's got a child, and he's very happy about it, even though it didn't go down well with either Mandy
or Jenna. Yeah, he's always wanted a family. And yeah, Lloyd has always seemed a bit of a family man. He's always got on with children, like Finley in the past when he was living with Teresa and Russ. So it's really nice for him to have a possible family coming up.
But unfortunately, when Jenna catches up with him for the final time, she has a go at him and tells him that he means nothing to her.
Yeah, which so I'm sure means that before long they'll be speaking.
Next week they'll be best friends.
Best friends next week. But yeah, good storyline that. Looking forward to seeing where that one goes next. What do you think? Do you think he's going to carry on stalking her, or is Mandy going to just turn up to the cab office one day and say, oh, let's talk, we need to talk?
Oh, I
wonder whether like Jenna's going to run off from home or something and Mandy's going to be left on her own and going to have to use Lloyd's cab to search her out, maybe.
Is it going to be a ready-made family for Lloyd?
Well, if it is, I hope that he moves them into the street and that he doesn't move further away, because I liked it when he lived at number 13. It felt like he was a proper character on Coronation Street. But...
to be honest, out of the two characters, I think that Mandy's more interesting than Jenna.
Oh,
I'd rather Jenna went off somewhere and Lloyd and Mandy.
Yeah, they seem like they can be a really good couple from the chemistry that we've seen between them.
But Jenna's
so far
a bit of a third wheel, really, because she's a grown
Yeah, it's not like having a little child.
No.
No. Anyway, next storyline, Beth and Kirk romance in a knicker van. A bit of an odd one. Again, well, Kirk's a character that's never really in it. He comes in, says something stupid. So now he's got his own storyline.
Beth goes on a date with a bloke she met off the internet. Kirk gives her a lift, drops her off. She looks uncannily like Scylla in her makeup.
They are making her into the new Scylla.
So Dave turns up, seems a bit weird, basically makes out that he wants to get Beth in bed as soon as possible. And she pours beer on him, runs away, and Kirk is waiting outside still. They get into a fight. Kirk ends up with a black eye, and Beth's basically smitten with him to be her saviour.
And he's smitten with her. I never suspected any chemistry between those two before.
Well, by the end of the week, they're sitting in the pub together, canoodling and loved up.
Yeah, I really don't see why Beth would fancy Kirk unless she's really, really desperate.
She just likes attention. He's given her attention, made her feel special. Mm. Where do you see them?
I don't see them lasting. I think it's a comedy relationship. I'd like Kirk to end up with somebody, because when he was going out with Fizz, I thought it was great that he's found somebody. When he was going out with Julie, it was bizarre, and he came back from that holiday and this older woman was tagging along with him. Surely there must be some kind of dopey girl character, kind of like a female Kirk, they could invent to go out with him.
Beth's dopey.
She's not.
She's not dopey enough, obviously.
She wouldn't, she'd think he was an idiot in real life.
We'll find out, won't we? That's their little storyline. And then we've got Rover's to be Pub of the Year. Gloria wants Stella to enter the Pub of the Year.
Yeah.
But Stella thinks that it's for la-di-da posh types. But basically, Gloria wears her down and enters the competition, pretends to be the landlady, starts coming up with all these changes she wants to make.
Yeah, it says that she's the landlady to try and, which is quite funny, so I'm sure that'll come and bite her in the bum at some point.
She puts up a comment box, but unfortunately the things that people are writing are not of a high enough calibre for her. Because Gloria basically tries to enlist Norris and Mary into...
Yeah, well, that backfires, doesn't
it? Yeah, because Mary asked for a mojito and Gloria's the faintest idea how to make one of those.
Don't you think that the comments box looked like it was endorsed by Betty the way it was?
I think she's put Betty there to sort of like have them judge.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember Betty? Yeah.
Just changed this to great. A 10.
I just could imagine that as soon as somebody puts something in the box, I could imagine like Betty's mouth opening and going, "Oh, thanks, love."
Well, Gloria decides to make up some of the comments herself and gives herself a nickname of Golden Glow, which is quite cool.
Yeah. I prefer Dennis's nickname for her earlier in the week, a queer fish, that Gloria.
Okay. Yeah, queer fish, Golden Glow.
Yeah. Is queer fish a northern term? I don't know.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like to say.
It reminds me of that South Park episode.
Yeah. So, where do we think that's going to end up?
Well,
spiralling out of control. Spiralling out of complete control. Mayhem.
So someone's going to come round and find out that all is not all is cracked up to be.
It's going
to
be a comedy inspector scene.
Oh, totally.
Isn't it?
I could be there is a comedy inspector with a clipboard.
Coming in going, "Oh, what says here that you make the best hot pot in all of the north?"
Yeah.
And they'll be like, "Oh, yes." And then poor old Sean will be out back slaving away trying to make this hot pot of fabulousness, but it probably won't work out.
It's just like a side storyline, it's a filler storyline.
Well, Gloria's only in it for the £5,000 worth of Selfridges vouchers, which I can totally sympathise with.
Right, so they've been the main storylines for this week. Let's move on now to our character profile.
Now it's time for our character profile, and this week we're doing Lloyd Mullaney. Played by Craig Charles, and the character was born in 1964. He lives in 15A Victoria Street, which is above streetcars. His first appearance was the 20th of June 2005, and he's sort of been in it on and off.
For various reasons.
Yeah, from 2005 to 2006, and then 2007 to 2011, and then from this year till the present. And he's been in 650 episodes.
Yeah, so... The thing that I seem to have found about his character is the character was created for Craig Charles rather than let's make a character, who can we get to play it? It's almost like ITV got Craig Charles and what character can we make from him? I remember when he came into it and I was very, very happy because I was a big Red Dwarf fan, so having Craig Charles, who plays Lister in Red Dwarf, on Coronation Street, kind of a match made in heaven for me.
Would you say that he's quite a beloved he wouldn't say he was a beloved actor because he's only really known for Red Dwarf.
That's but
he's
it, yeah.
He's sort of an icon of British comedy, isn't he, really?
Yeah, yeah. And everyone likes him as a character. He's really popular, isn't he? Nobody's got a bad thing to say about Lloyd, really, generally in Corrie fandom.
He's just a nice bloke.
He's just a nice bloke. He's the kind of person that anyone would want to be mates with, I think. Good for a laugh.
Yeah, he hasn't really been the star of a storyline for most of his duration on the street.
No, he hasn't. He started off back in 2005 when he bought into Streetcars for £15,000. His girlfriend had lent him the money and he wanted to split up with her, but he kind of couldn't. So he ended up having to sleep with her, basically, to pay back for the money that she lent him. That was a bit of a problem because he was kind of dating Kelly Crabtree at the same time. She found out that this was going on, put a bottle of laxative in his beer. Funny scene. But anyway, he then borrowed 10k from the bank and they were an item for a little while.
I didn't know you could just borrow money from a bank. I thought you had to borrow shady loan sharks or give birth to a child that's not your own to make money on the Coronation Street.
Well, there you go.
Or just get a job for a trial period.
In 2006, Lloyd and Kelly moved in together, and that's when Becky arrived on the scene, your favourite character.
Yay,
she
Becky.
Was really clingy at the start. She came in because she'd known Kelly, and she moved in with them. Bit of a third wheel in the relationship, and in the end, Lloyd suggested that she moved out. Becky didn't like that, and then she ended up planting some stolen goods on Kelly. That got her into trouble, and Lloyd told Kelly that she's better off pleading guilty to everyone and saying that she did steal it. Kelly did that, and so she got off lightly, but because Lloyd was going along with the fact that she was the one that stole this stuff, she ended up dumping him, slept with Steve, and that caused Steve and Lloyd to have one of their many fallouts, and that's when Craig Charles left the programme for the first time. And he left because the actor was suspended for drug abuse, and everyone was totally shocked. Do you remember when that came out in the news?
Yeah, it was actually very shocking that happened.
Yeah. I was gutted because I thought he was great having this childhood icon of mine on Coronation Street. But he was suspended, but everybody said, oh, I hope he comes back, because he was such a lovable character. So it wasn't long, 2007, he was back, and he was given a 3-year contract then from ITV. He started dating Jodie Morton, but then ended up dumping her because she had a bit too much baggage with all the many brothers and sisters that she had. Do you remember Finley, who he got on with, the little Morton, Teresa? Morton tried to con Lloyd into thinking that...
Yeah, I remember that now.
..that he was his son. So
already... Poor old Lloyd.
Yeah, it's almost a bit of a...
An echo of the
past, what's going on now, with him suddenly realising he's got this son. But anyway, he finds out that he wasn't actually his father, gets rid of Teresa, starts dating Liz... And that was another, we've mentioned that scene a few weeks ago where Liz had to hide behind Lloyd's sofa. That was
so
good.
So that Steve didn't find them, because obviously Liz is Steve's mum and it was a bit awkward.
Yeah, but he's got a thing for an older woman, Lloyd, hasn't he? Liz,
well,
Teresa.
Mandy looks about the same age.
Mandy's about his age, isn't she? Must be. He split up with Liz. I think he was a bit embarrassed by the big age gap there. And it wasn't very easy going out with his best mate's mum. And eventually, for whatever reason, he's ended up going out with Teresa. I think she'd been kicked out of her home and he was on the rebound from Liz and she needed someone to cry on, so they ended up together. That obviously didn't last. Then along came Cheryl, which was...
Cheryl,
sorry. And that was his biggest storyline. For me, that's his most memorable storyline.
He basically rescues Cheryl from her abusive husband, Chris.
Oh, he was such a...
He was beating her up and... She had to get out of that situation, obviously, and she had a son, Russ, during the tram crash...
He rescued Russ. Number 13 was on fire, and the Peacock children were in there, and he went in and rescued them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's quite brave. He rescued Becky from a fire once, I think a couple of times.
On the street, you have to be able to rescue people from burning buildings at a moment's notice.
That they still haven't had that. Those fire alarms go faulty and set fire.
No,
they
haven't. I think we've
there you go. There's another rescue for the future, maybe for Lloyd. Anyway, Chris has got is diagnosed with a brain tumour, and then he tricked Cheryl into thinking it was worse than it actually was. He's saying, "Oh, I'm dying.
Oh,
I'm dying. The treatment's not working."
Gonna die.
And so she goes back to him. I was so mad at him when this storyline was going
on.
He
was sneaky.
Because Cheryl was great for Lloyd. They were a really good couple.
I think she was a bit too young for him.
Oh, maybe, but it was nice to see him happy after going through all these unsuccessful
relationships. Yeah, but it was an uneasy relationship to watch because you knew that something was going to happen because she was out of his league, I thought. It sounds horrible to say, but I can see him settling down with Mandy. Mandy seems like a really nice maternal... That's what he needs, a maternal, nice, nesty kind of homemaker woman who will cook him a nice dinner. You know what I mean? That's what he needs. Not somebody who's, like, sexy ex-stripper with an abusive husband kind of.
So anyway, she goes off with Chris again, and then before long Lloyd's trying to snog Stella. He's been through quite a few women on the street in a short time. Carl finds out and Lloyd is kind of disgraced and leaves for the street, and that's when Craig Charles went to film the new series of Red Dwarf, came back this year, and there's a bit of a funny storyline where he'd set up a rival cab firm with Steve, and that was just a way of getting them back together again.
It was called Fair Ladies, which was an excellent name for a cab.
Excellent Corrie pun. They're good at puppy business names. But I think Lloyd is great. He's I want him to stay in it a long time. I really want him to have a family. I want him to move in onto the street because I think he could be an iconic Corrie character if they gave him the chance. He's not the best actor.
I love Craig Charles.
Yeah.
I like him in the programme. But I can't say that I've ever really cared about Lloyd.
It's because they haven't given him the opportunity. He's just been on the sidelines all the time. He's like there as the straight man for Steve's idiotic schemes, because Lloyd's obviously the better businessman out of the two.
I think he just always seems, in my mind, if I picked him, he always has a pained expression on his face for various reasons, which I'm sure are justified. But at the same time, he doesn't. When I see him, I don't go, oh, good.
I do.
It's a Lloyd scene.
I do.
No, I don't.
Yeah. But anyway, really looking forward to seeing how this other storyline turns out.
Yeah, I hope it
spreads into other characters in the street, because he's only ever really has scenes with Steven. He doesn't seem to be a part of the community. So I hope something happens that he's involved with.
Well, didn't he start having a friendship with somebody he went off and played darts with?
Paul.
Yeah, so
he could get in there. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute with the cabin. Okay then, quick news for this week. It's the Inside Soap Awards on this coming Monday, so by the time you've listened to this, they might already have the results. But Corrie's got...
The nominations?
Go on then,
they've
got
16 award nominations compared to 13 for EastEnders, 12 for Hollyoaks and 7 for Emmerdale. So Best Actor, Chris Gascoigne.
Yeah, that's Peter Barlow. He's pretty good. Could win that.
Best Actress, Michelle Keegan,
She just won the Best Actress at the other awards though last week, so good luck to her for that.
Best Young Actor, Alex Bane, who is...
Simon.
Best Newcomer, Natalie Gamede.
Yeah, Kirsten, I hope she wins that.
Oh,
Best
she's new, brilliant.
Really
she
good
should
character,
win.
She yep. should win that one, yeah.
Funniest Male, Simon Gregson, who seems to get that quite a lot.
Steve. He's turned into more of a comedy character as the years have gone on. And then Malcolm Hebden's also going up against him as Norris. He's won lots of funniest character awards. Ooh. I think at the moment Steve's funny. I think Norris has been off the ball a bit, don't you?
No, I think. Intrinsically a funnier character than Steve.
We've got funniest female, Katie Kavanagh, Julie, and
Love
Patty Clare.
Julie.
I think Mary's funnier than Julie, though.
Yeah, Patty Clare.
Brian's funnier than Julie. Julie's almost having to be the straight person to Brian at the moment. So, Patty, good luck for that. You got my vote.
Best bad boy, Chris Gascoigne.
No, he's not really a bad boy. That's Peter Barlow.
No, he's not a bad boy.
No.
Right, best. Are we allowed to say that word?
We can say best bitch.
We mean female
dog.
I'm
sure we said it last week.
Kate Ford,
yeah,
who is Tracy, and Paula Lane, who is Kylie.
There's no way that anyone could beat Kate Ford for
this, really.
And why isn't
Kirsty? Why isn't
Kirsty
on there?
Paula Lane's, Kirsty's hardly been in it.
She would outbitch both of those on their worst days.
Yeah.
So. Sexiest male, Chris Fountain.
Your comments as a lady?
Plays Tommy. My comment, I've written this down, I felt so strongly about it. Stop wearing V-necks. Chris Fountain, it's really, really unpleasant. That's all my thoughts on that one. Sexiest female, Michelle Keegan. We've spoken about her and her sexy female awards.
Yeah, she's also down for best dressed as well, competing against Kathleen Tildesley, who's
So this is for the character.
No, this is the best soap star.
Best dressed soap star.
Michelle Keegan and Kathleen Tildesley.
I haven't seen anything of what Michelle Keegan wears in her days off.
I don't think she's quite as chubby.
I've seen Catherine Pilsley wearing lovely outfits. Yeah, so she gets my vote.
Yeah, she'd win for me over Michelle Keegan.
So obviously they also have been nominated for Best Soap.
Yeah, good luck. That's hope they win. We'll find out on Monday. It's probably going to be EastEnders because EastEnders usually win these kinds of things. But
yeah. Right, so the next news piece you've got is Helen Flanagan, who played
Rosie Webster.
Possibly the rumour is signing up for I'm a Celebrity.
She'd be hilarious because I think she is actually quite like Rosie.
Do you reckon?
Just can you imagine her with a spider crawling all over her face?
I want her to be like Rosie in real life then.
Yeah.
To be honest, she's been in the papers quite a lot for some variously poorly judged outfits.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be charitable about that and say that it was a bad call on her part to wear those outfits rather than making any judgments about her personality, which is what the tabloids are doing. So I just hope that if she does get on it, she's not going to be ripped to pieces.
Mm. We'll find out. We won't watch it. We don't watch I'm a Celebrity. But
no, I don't. That
would
almost
make me want to watch it.
I won't watch it because they eat insects for fun, which I don't think is very fair.
No. Third bit of news, this is just something little. When I was looking on Twitter the other day and it was Catherine Tilsley's birthday. She set her hair on fire with her birthday cake candles.
Why don't they write that into the script of the...
Well, maybe if her hair's on fire, they're going to have to. Anthony Cotton was there and he made sure everybody on Twitter knew.
Well, we knew about it. Thanks, Anthony.
And a quick review of the latest Couriers episode 3 that was on the other day. Away from the cobbles, they mentioned the old trips to Spain. The first time they went abroad, Bet came home late.
Everyone actually bought her plane tickets.
Sent them to Granada.
So does that mean that there were lots of flights from Spain that were full of empty seats that were for a fictional character, and all these people were just stretched out on the aisle going, "This is brilliant."
Yeah. there was Joe getting killed in the lakes. Atmospheric. Mm-hmm. That must have been freezing because they filmed that right in the middle of winter.
I can't believe that they scheduled that for that time. It just seems a bit insane.
They showed the when Coronation Street's at various times been to Blackpool, they mostly focused on one of the very early episodes in 1961 where the production team forgot to take the radio mic, so they had to have half the episode with no dialogue.
That was utterly bizarre. They sort of played music.
They're like showing Ina Sharples going up in a lift with the other two and then paddling around, and everyone on the carousel, I do like to be beside the seaside playing. Can you imagine that happening now?
It was kind of like it was an old-timey sort of silent movie without the bits where they put the script on.
Yeah.
Because there was a bit where she was getting up in the lift and she was muttering, and you sort of expected the screen to go black and her to say, "Oh Lord, save me from this."
I'd really like to see that episode.
I thought it looked like some kind of horrible nightmare.
What I did like, I think my favourite part of this documentary was when it had Maud Percy and Maureen visiting the D-Day landing graves. That was really quite emotional. And this must have just been on just before I started watching it back in 1994. Mm. And the guy who played Percy Sugden, I don't remember his name now, but he played it so well because he knew all of his old army mates that died, and you could see from the actor's eyes he was reminiscing about his past. That was really sad. That was an excellently acted scene. And then when Maud revealed to Maureen that one of these graves belongs to Maureen's dad, that was great that they put that on. I'd like to watch that episode as well, actually, because I like all those characters. Steve and Eileen in Malta ended it off.
That was a comedy U-turn for the tone of the show.
Yeah, but they had the guy that played the transvestite, and it was nice.
Well,
to...
the storyline of it was that Steve went to Malta with Eileen and found himself having an affair with who he thought was a woman, but it was actually a transvestite. And the guy who played this character was talking about how well he thought they handled it. But I think that
it was done for laughs. But
Simon Gregson kind of ruined all of the sensitivity by going, "I had to kiss a man,"
and gurning away. Next week's episode of The Couriers is going to be about kids who've been in Corrie, so I assume we'll have a lot of chance to say, "Oh, look a little Chesney. Oh, look a little Simon."
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about like the Websters who've grown up on the street.
Yeah.
Tracy and Steve, maybe.
Are they going to talk about old actors and actresses who have gone up the stairs and come back down again?
They don't seem to like to mention that. I think that they might not do. I don't know. Anyway, so that's it for the news this week. A quick bit of feedback in a second. So we just had a few tweets this week. We asked a couple of episodes back who would win in a fight between Kirsty and Tracy. Well, Sergeant Kitts has said, Tracy versus Kirsty, that would be awesome. It would, but who do you think it would win?
Non-committal.
Let us know, Sergeant.
Yeah.
Jane Doe has said, Tracy is scrappy, but Kirsty is just freaking insane. So I'm leaning towards Kirsty. And I think that's what you said as well. So come on, I'm in the Tracy camp. Anyone else?
To be fair, though, Tracy is also insane.
They both are pretty
insane. I think that Kirsty's going to bring it with some real force at the beginning, but Tracy might get the upper hand because she's good at the long game.
Yeah, so come on, who else do you think, listeners, who's going to win? And who else would you like to see engage in a battle in Coronation Street?
Whether it's a wits or a fist.
I would like Norris and Ken to have a fight, that's my
goal. An actual stand-up fist fight?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Right, that's it for this week's episode. You can send us an email at conversationstreet@gmail.com. Visit our blog at www.conversationstreet.podbean.com.
Review us on iTunes, please.
Yes, please, that'd be great to give us a review on iTunes and subscribe to us as well. I think it looks like we've got about 20 subscribers at the moment, which is nice, but there could be more. And you can follow us on Twitter on conversationstreet, find us on Facebook as well, search for us through there. And I'd just like to say, on the subject of Twitter, thank you again for everyone that's been retweeting us and spreading the message about the podcast. We really do appreciate it. So that's going to be it for this week. I've got to watch all of next week's episodes all in one evening because I'm not going to be at home for about 4 or 5 days.
I'll be watching them by myself.
You'll be watching them by yourself, and then I'll have to watch 2.5 hours all in one go.
Well, we can watch on Fridays. We can watch together because I'm going to Alton Towers on Friday, so I don't know when I'm going to be back. Mm. So we'll probably be recording the podcast on Friday. So if
Very
I sound late. A bit insane, it's because I've been on roller coasters all day long.
And I've spent a week on a school trip because I'm a teacher and I'm going away with a class of 10 and 11 year olds for a whole week.
So
I might be a bit tired.
If we come out with utter nonsense, which sounds more like utter nonsense than what we usually come out with, that's why.
Right, see you next time then.
Bye.
Bye bye. The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.